Then when the hogs got cool by evening, some of them would come back, and maybe it was cold enough, about zero weather, why you could work on them right away after dinner. Cut them up, and you had backbones, and you could trim your hams, and your shoulders, and your sides, and split the ribs, and then you hang them up in a smokehouse. Generally, you left them lay a few days in your building summer kitchen or whatever you had on the table, and salt it, and put a little salt on it. Then you'd run a twine string through the end of the ham or so, and hang them up in the little smokehouse or coal shed. You only had a little room in there, about 6 by 8 or so. And then in the spring, about February, you started a little fire in there in a can, the old bottom of a milk can or anything, and you put some wood on there, usually hickory, but it wasn't necessary. Then you'd cover it with a little sawdust to make it smoke good and close the door. And sometimes people go by and see that smoke coming out, they think your coal shed was on fire. And you smoke it good and brown, generally 2 or 3 times, let it run for about 2 hours, keep the smoke. And that would keep your meat from spoiling. Then they put it in a flour sack or wrap it with paper and a little salt and pepper around, and that would keep the flies off. And meat kept very well, but I don't know, the last 15 to 20 years already, if it's a commercial feed that you fatten hogs with, has something to do with it, it won't keep anymore. Mm-hmm. It'll spoil on you. I don't know what the reason is, but it's something about, maybe some say it's too much pollution in the air. Mm-hmm. And that was a real drudgery. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and milk, and then have the water hot to scald the hogs, and everybody'd come and curb 4 or 5 people and butcher that day, get it all done.
Is that what it was, a community thing?
Mostly, yeah.
Neighbors went
and
from
the next
house
neighbor
to house.
Butcher, and everybody go over there with full force and help them butcher 2, 3, 4 hogs, whatever they needed. Mm-hmm. And then we butchered beef, fatten a cow, steer, whatever you wanted.
All the same,
same
week?
No, not the
same
day, anytime later, when the weather's cold enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you made all your own sausage?
Mm-hmm, you betcha. So that was, you didn't buy no meat. You had your own potatoes, you had your own jelly, you had your own peaches and apples, canned. In fact, you didn't have to go to town for a week if you didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's no use because you didn't have no money anyhow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it I used to see Grandpa Har putting down in his well? Like, before they had refrigeration when I was a little kid, yeah. What'd they do?
Well,
what was that for?
If you wanted to keep your milk, you had a little chain or a little rope. And then you'd put a fruit jar full of milk or a gallon jug or whatever you had. You didn't have no plastic jugs, you had glass. And you put it in that sack and tie a rope around it and let it down the well. Just touch the water or close to the water. Mm-hmm. And that would keep your butter and milk and everything cool, see? And
did you make your own butter too? On the farm?
You know,
I can't remember.
We used to make butter once in a while when there was a milk strike or something, but no, as a rule, we always bought that.
There were some little tabs that she used to bring home, that, like coloring, food coloring or something.
Yeah.
She'd drop it in.
That was butter coloring. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Once in a while, there was a milk strike or uh-huh. something, you have some milk left over and have a little cream maybe, and you put a little coloring in and churn it.
And she made cottage cheese.
Yeah, you don't forget that good old cottage cheese.
How'd you do that?
Well, you let milk sour, and then you pour it in a flour sack, generally as a rule, was about the only one we had, mm-hmm. and hang it on the wash line, let the water run out of it, and then you, mm-hmm. morning you'd have nothing but the curd left, mm-hmm. and then you'd take that and squeeze it dry, and put some salt with it, add a little whole milk or cream to it, and that was your cottage cheese. I made many a box of that down at the dairy when I worked there them couple months. A box as high as 240 box of this 1 pound boxes.
How'd they do it down there?
We had a big kettle in a wooden frame uh-huh. that held I guess it had been a butcher kettle. Maybe anyhow it was clean. And we'd make the cheese in the summertime when there's a lot of milk. Take it down to the cold storage place, Massey's Cold Storage in Granite City. And then when milk got short in August or so, and otherwise we'd make our clabber up there. We call Bulgarian buttermilk, put skim milk in a glass lined tank, bring it up to boil or hot temperature for a little bit, then put in about a gallon of sour milk, lactic acid we called it, and then in the spring and morning we drain the water off of it and bottle that, and that was Bulgarian buttermilk. And sometime we had too much milk, we'd make it into cottage cheese. That was the same way. It was sour in the morning, we'd run the water out from under the curd, then take that cheese and put it in 25-pound butter pails and take it down to the storage place. But otherwise, we'd have enough, then we'd put it in that big, it was about a 35, 40-gallon kettle that I had, and I'd fill that, and I'd put a couple gallons of jelly, put whole milk on, because we had some stores would buy it as dry as they could get it, and they'd buy skim milk, because they could buy that for 10 cents a gallon, and weighed 8 pounds, so that was clear profit, adding that weight to that dry cheese. A couple of them down there in Wood River that I knew, they'd raise heck all the time, it wasn't dry enough, because they couldn't add enough skim milk to it, see? But I always used the whole milk, and maybe a little cream if we had some handy, that'd give it good flavor. I started there, we was making about 100, 125 bucks, and when I left, we had about 240 bucks a day. So a lot of them always laughed. I said, I was always great for putting quite a bit of salt in it. Something brought up the business, and then some stores would buy maybe by the gallon, couple gallon buckets, tin buckets we had, and some would buy a granite pot that held maybe 15 pounds. The milk drivers would bring it to the store and he'd dish it out of there himself. And then there's quite a few of them bought a ready box, pound boxes. Yeah.
I know what I want to ask you too is about the, I remember the feed sacks that you used to get. Where did you get those? When Mother used to make clothes out of those?
Cattle feed and poultry feed. Feed store in Dorsey.
So a lot of, some of it you bought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're like up at...
Well, there for a while, Dorsey. I bought it pretty all the time. And they had these print colored sacks. And, well, they made pretty dresses. Couldn't have been nicer. It was color fast pretty well. They didn't fade too easy. But the last years, I always made my own dairy feed things. And they started putting so much chopped straw or what it all was in there, filler. Then add enough soybean meal to get the protein up.
So you just started making your own then?
Yeah, I had my own hammer mill and we made our own lay and mash and run it through together, and that done a pretty good job of mixing. And I think cattle even too, you can make your own dairy feed. They done better on that than what you could buy.
Would you say there were two or three main stores in Dorsey all the time, like Dietzel's? Would have been, what was that in that building before Dietzel's store?
At the beginning, Bolin had a saloon.
Oh,
and Cunningham had a grocery store. I said that about the looking out of the door, see if anybody around.
Yeah, okay, that was across in McGahey's. Yeah.
That's McGahey's there.
Was that the very
that
first
was the
store?
That very first store there. Bill Keeney and
Dorsey.
Uncle John Hire
okay.
Run that for years, and they had everything. Oh. I tell you, I don't understand how they got so much stuff in there. They had Sunday straw hats for men, they had felt hats for men, and they had summer straw hats for men. They had a few blouses and shoes for women. They had shoes for men. They had stockings for women. They had underwear for women. They had underwear for men.
So it was dry goods only?
Yeah.
Or did they have food too?
Why, like no, they had sausage hanging on the ceiling up among the harness and things. And when you wanted a length of summer sausage, they had a stick with a hook on it. Raise one off of a nail up there. Farmers sit under there when they brought milk in the morning, smoked their pipe and things that smoked it.
Oh, my gosh.
And nobody got sick from salmonella poisoning or anything like that.
So was that called, what was the name of that store?
General Merchandise.
Merchandise, yeah. But owned by those?
Cunningham started Cunningham. Years ago. That's the first one I can remember. And then Bill Keeney took it over and bought it. And Uncle John was a brother-in-law. He worked for him, see, for years. And Ed Neitzel, or Gus Neitzel, started one across the street. And Ed, the brother, had the tavern, or saloon, they called it. That was, the tavern was 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Called him a saloon.
Where was that?
And right on the same, and on the west end of the building, across the street from Keys.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Gus had a grocery store on the east side of it.
Okay. And it was all in one big building.
Mm-hmm,
the saloon
that's
and
right.
The
thing. Then Ed Neitzel run the store for a while. The saloon business didn't go no more. Well, Prohibition come along.
Oh.
So they closed down the saloon and used that a little bit as a storehouse for his store business, boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then Ed Elliott built a big feed shed, grinding place. You could bring, Louis Bertels had the first feed grinder there, a shed. Mm-hmm. You'd bring your load of corn stuff up there, and he, I don't know, 1 or 2 days a week, he'd grind corn, feed, see? Mm-hmm. And then Ed Elgitz, he built the feed shed, and he had a big grinder in there, quite modern. And then they got a portable hammer mill on a big truck. They come around among the farmers every day, here and there. They have routes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when they build, when did they put the first post office up there then?
That's way before my time.
Way back. So that was in one of the, like, Keedy store or something.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
that was there.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Up there. Uh-huh.
And then Keedy went out of business. Why? They moved it to Ed Neitzel a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they built the little post office there where it is today, where Hesse Dean built that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first, I guess the first post office came with the railroad. And then there was a depot up there. Lyford was agent. And there's a guy got off the 4 o'clock train one afternoon. And the conductor told Lyford, he says, I think he's the guy that's breaking in these depots at night. And he walks a little bit. And he's got the same limp he had someplace else up the line, Glisby or Bunnell, wherever it was. And Lyford went back. That evening, he bought an old single-barrel shotgun from my uncle when he quit hunting. He put a load of buckshot in there, and sure enough, when he got up there, the man was ready, and he saw a light of match or a little flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
When he come out of the door, he hollered, "Halt!" The guy didn't stop, and he shot and he killed him.
Oh.
And sure enough, he had a little crowbar, Jimmy, in the side of his pants leg. That's where he's breaking the windows and doors out. He's going in the depots and find a little money, and there was something come for him at the post office, but he got killed before he got down to the post office. He never got that package. I don't know what he had in there.
Seems he was like was a bum, huh?
Yeah, just a shirt and a pants seems to me was in that. Yeah, but old Alfred killed him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any bums come to the farms or anything?
Gypsies, years ago. I can just remember them. Maybe 12, 15 head of horses and half a dozen wagons. And real brown Indian women and children in it, going to schoolyards in the summertime and park in there and camp for maybe a week and steal all the chickens they could in the community there. They lived high on the hog for a while. And only about 4 or 5 would come to the house. And, I got a sick baby. I need a little sugar. I need a little milk. And others go to the corn crib, fill a sack full of corn or go to the oats bin or whatever was handy, get feed for their horses.
Mm-hmm.
And generally 2 or 3 come to the house while he was getting something for the sick child. They sneak through your house. They could do that so doggone quickly. It was like a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd miss your pocketbook or you'd miss a clock or something like that. But that all vanished. I can just remember them.
Mm-hmm.
But they quit all at once. Well, I guess the public got after them and they just faded with the times.
Okay, we've been at this about 3 hours and 45 minutes, so I think we'll take a break now and let everybody have a rest.